So the topic continues to be on wholesomeness, skillfulness. There's a single Pali word that we translate into English in both these ways. The Pali word is kusala, K-U-S-A-L-A. And it probably is seen as maybe in the ancient Buddhist world had a singular meaning in that time, but it just happens to be that in English it seems like the two primary meanings that or translations that we've come to settled on now is wholesome and skillful, and then the opposite is unwholesome and unskillful. Some of it depends on the context of in which the term is being used. It seems that in things that have an interpersonal relationship, interpersonal nature, relating to other people, for example, or maybe relating to ourselves as if we're another person, then wholesome seems to be the better translation. But when it has to do with personal spiritual development, personal meditation, development of one's meditation practice, then it seems like a better translation is skill. And wholesomeness has the idea in English of something which is nourishing, something which is healthy. The dictionary definition that I've seen is promoting health and well-being of mind, spirit, and body. Whereas skillfulness has to do with proficiency at one's ability to do something well. And wholesomeness can imply the goodness of something in and of itself. Just doing it is its own reward because it just feels so good to do. Whereas skillful has a little bit more sense that you're doing it for something for a purpose, and it supports a purpose. It might support the growth of wholesome qualities, growth of what's good, but still it's skillful for a purpose. So you say, you know, this is skillful, you can ask for what purpose or in what way. And so these distinctions are not so absolute, but there's a tendency to be kind of divide these two different translations. One has to do with interpersonal, and the other real personal development. And one has to do with promoting health and well-being in a direct way for oneself, with wholesome qualities, to acting on the wholesome and acting on the ways that benefit other people. If it's done wholesomely, it's nourishing, supportive. Here, according to this translation, conducive to promoting moral, promoting health or well-being of mind, spirit, and body. It's interesting that another definition of wholesomeness in the dictionary is conducive to or promoting moral well-being. And so this particularly has to do with how kusala sometimes refers to this interpersonal relationship. In fact, the word kusala is probably the closest match for the English word moral or ethics. But rather than having some kind of authoritarian feeling or moral obligation feeling around the word, the concept, it has this kind of warm, this warm internal feeling of upswelling of what is nourishing, supportive, this good within us. So it has an inner source for ethics, rather than external source of right and wrong, should and shouldn't, and all that. And so to keep using this wholesome inner experience, to be connected to that, to know it, in a way that can be eclipsed if we're too much caught up in the cognitive ideas of the abstract ideas of what is and isn't ethical, what we should and shouldn't do, what is right and wrong coming from our society or from religious textbooks or all kinds of sources that are very different than this welling up of a reference point inside of what really feels nourishing, healthy. That's different than using the experience of pleasure as a reference point. If it's simply what we enjoy, what brings pleasure, then we might go askew, might go astray a little bit. But if we use what's wholesome, I think the Buddhist idea is that's a really reliable reference point for ensuring that we act well in the world, generously in the world. So staying for a moment with, or a little bit with this translation of wholesome, and that it has to do with the interpersonal world, probably the most common reference to this wholesome quality in terms of our relationship to other people in this, in the teachings of the Buddha, have to do with a list of 10 ethical guidelines that are called the 10 courses, 10 practices of wholesome action. And the opposite are the 10 courses of unwholesome action. And the word action here is karma. So of wholesome karma and unwholesome karma. And because the word kusala, wholesome, is there, these 10 kind of looks like precepts, maybe shouldn't be seen as precepts in some of the associations we have with the word. They are more like the 10 wellsprings of wholesome actions that we can act on and live by. So these 10, there's a longer description of each one in the suttas, but for now I'll say the 10 are not killing, not stealing, not taking what is not given, not engaging in sexual misconduct, not lying, not speaking maliciously, not speaking harshly, not speaking frivolously, not having, not being avaricious, and not having ill will, and having right view, the skillful view and understanding. And one of the skillful views is to distinguish between what is wholesome and unwholesome. One of the skillful views and understandings is to understand how to come from what is wholesome as we engage in our life. And so they're mostly talking about what not to do, but it turns out that not doing killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, and so forth just clears the decks, in a sense, for what's in there, the wholesome, to come out. It also provides a tremendous sense of safety and room for other people to thrive and to do well in a way that if we kill and steal and hurt people through our sexuality, doesn't allow the best in other people to come out as well. Violence against others and hostility against others, meanness to others, can close people down or cause challenges for people in a community for, you know, really for centuries. It was very touching to read about the survivors of the Tulsa massacre who went to Congress recently. Today's the 100th anniversary of that massacre. And so someone who's 107 years old coming and speaking about the legacy of what happened 100 years ago, that violence, and how every day of her life, every night of her life, she relives and is, you know, troubled by what happened to her for 100 years. That's a long time. And so the impact of our negative actions are huge. But what we're trying to do is to live a wholesome life. And that, for me, that's a very different feeling than living an ethical life. A wholesome life just feels like it's, wholesome. It's, it just feels good. It's relaxing. It's softening. It's warm heartening for ourselves. And so this idea of wholesome, examples of what's most wholesome are these 10 wholesome actions. And they have, there's a long description, about a paragraph long description of each one. And I'll give you an example of the first one. you get a sense of it's actually relatively short compared to the others. Abandoning killing of living beings, one abstains from killing living beings. With weapons laid aside, gentle and kindly, one abides compassionate to all living beings. So here we have, it's not just a matter of avoiding killing. There's also this positive, wholesome qualities that are being encouraged here and being allowed to develop and grow. And so it's not just simply a prohibition for something. It's because it's focusing on what's wholesome, it says, yes, and these beautiful qualities as well. Let's live by them as well. With weapons laid aside, gentle and kindly, one abides compassionate to all living beings. In abstaining from malicious speech, one reunites those divided and promotes friendship and unites those who are not yet united. In avoiding harsh speech, one speaks gently and courteously. In abstaining from frivolous speech, one speaks by what is factual and useful. In abstaining from ill will, one wishes others that they be free of affliction. So these 10 wholesome qualities, and these get listed, talked about over and over again in the suttas, much more, is my impression, than the 5 precepts. And it seems that in the suttas, in the teachings of the Buddha, these 10 skillful actions, while they overlap with the 5 precepts, they're richer and more heartfelt in nature in terms of these positive qualities. But more importantly, they're presented also as important stepping stones in the path to liberation. Whereas the 5 precepts have a lot of benefit, but they're not so directly tied to the purposes for liberation. The purposes are to create a better society and help the other people feel safe and not create bad karma for ourselves, things like that. The 10 courses of wholesome action that lead to both liberation but also the growth of wholesomeness in ourselves. What a wonderful thing to do. What a wonderful thing to do with one's life is to develop wholesome qualities that support others and protect others and for the benefit of others. Right on the path to liberation. What a nice thing that these 2 things coincide. So the 10 courses of skillful or wholesome actions are found repeatedly in the suttas. In the middle-length discourses, I see there's a note asking the source. It may be a relatively easy place to find if those you have access to it. The middle-length discourses in Discourse 9 has a list of them. But I don't know if it's a full list, the full description. The full description might be in something like in the middle-length discourse 39 or 40, something like that. Thank you, and may your day be wholesome.